All right, let's go ahead and open up in prayer real quick and thank God for this beautiful day that he's given us and our wonderful family. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, for your concern for us, for your personal relationship that you have for us. Father, you're just not a God in the Bible or a book or like another religion where we have to follow rules, but Father, it's a relationship with you. And we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your character. We thank you for those good things that happen in our lives. Also, thank you for the struggles we have in our life, because every one of those has a divine impact on our lives and our character. We thank you in Jesus' name for this day, that we get to worship you in this free country. Amen. Let me read a scripture to you that really touched me, and that's Matthew 20, 29 through 34. And as they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. There were two blind men sitting on the road. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd demanded that they be quiet. Shh, don't say anything. But they cried all the more. They weren't stopped by what they were told to do. "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." Jesus stopped, called them, and said, "What do you want from me? What do you want me to do for you?" The Lord said to him, "Open our eyes." Lord, they said to him, "Open our eyes." Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. Immediately they could see, and they followed him. What an amazing God, huh? In a busy time, big crowds, there's a fanfare going on, but Jesus stops. He stops because he loves them. He stops because he loves you. Let's be like that ourselves. Thank you, Jesus.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. Thank you. our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And what can stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And what can stand against? And what can stand
shaking Savior, you got changed. One more song this morning. I am not alone. Isn't that amazing promise? We are not alone. Thank you, Jesus.
God is so good, isn't he? So we are a group of people who love Jesus and other people. We meet together to strengthen our friendships, welcome others into our lives, give encouragement, receive support, celebrate stories of redemption, experience freedom, discover truth, and impact others with hope. All right. I just am so thankful that as we go through this transition, everybody steps up and fills in and helps out, prays, which is the most powerful thing we can ever do. So it's so good to see our body. I appreciate that. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time of worship. You are an amazing and awesome God. You love us, and you want us to love each other. And we're thankful for that time. In Jesus' name, amen. With that, I'm going to just go into prayer, and we're going to have Brother Vic come on up. He shared that a bit here a couple weeks ago, but I just love that story that God gave him the message. Then he gives him three of them in one night, keeping him up all night. So anyway, Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this time where our church is coming together. We're supporting each other. Folks are stepping up, filling in, just doing things that you want done, Father. Let us spend time with you. Let us get to know you. Let us shine your glory to this world. Bless our brother Vic as he shares your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for this day. I am so grateful. What testimonies. Yeah. Becky, you stole my thunder this morning. But you know, God knows our hearts. He knows what's important. He knows where we are today. And I was thinking of how God wanted me to deliver this message. I've had a little bit of time, and then you learn more and more and more while you're studying. But the thing that Jesus was telling me, everybody is important to me. Everyone is important to me. And this is what I want to share with you, the divine appointment that we have with Jesus. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I just pray as I deliver the message, I pray that you laid on my heart that it will just really be a benefit to those that are in need. And I pray that they won't feel excluded from you, but they will feel welcomed into your arms. I pray, Jesus, today that we will become a participant in your righteousness and wanting to be the best we can for you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. I had a story, and it never fit with this message. It kind of does, but I was wanting to tell it, and so I'm going to tell it before I even start, because it's divine appointments that God laid on my heart. Each one of us have a divine appointment. I was on my knees before Jesus begging for forgiveness, and I felt like I was going to hell. And I needed a divine appointment. I needed somebody to say, hey, the devil's a liar. He's the father of all lies. So I knelt down there praying, and guess what went through my mind? The filthiest stuff you can imagine. I'm praying, and all this garbage that I've seen and I've done, it's all going through my head. And the devil was trying to lie me into hell, said, I've got you. You're mine. Look at all this, you're down here praying and all this garbage that you're thinking. And as I had a man next to me, he said, Vic, the devil's a liar and he's the father of all lies. Sometimes we need to realize that when we get in spots that we're feeling pretty low and we feel like, well, God don't love me anymore, that's a lie right from the pit of hell. The Bible says something that we should never forget. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We can't forget that, because there's times that you may feel forsaken and the devil might say you are, but it's a lie. It's a lie. I'll tell you a story that happened to me, and it blessed my heart. This is prior to me being married. I was dating people and thinking I was trying to find the right one, and it seemed like Modesto's where I seemed to always end up. And here I am up here working, so it's the fly down to Modesto, or drive down to Modesto and drive back. Well, I was doing this, and it's amazing. My love was in Ferndale, and I didn't even know it. So anyway, I was driving home one night, and I was very tired, and I had to get to work. And I was driving, and I seen three people beside the road. There was a man and a woman and a little girl. She was about 4 or 5. And God said, pick them up. Have you ever had that feeling and said, oh, pick them up or help them? Or, well, I was driving by, and I started arguing with God. God, why didn't you tell me earlier? And then I could have pulled off. But it's 5 miles to the next exit, you know, that I can get on. I'm not going to cross the freeway and break the law. So I'm arguing with God. This is my how it works with me. So I'm saying, God, they won't even be there when I get back, you know. I drove all the way down, and I finally said, all right, got on the exit, came back, and they're still there. So have I told you this before? Okay, good. I wonder if you've heard it. Well, anyway, I drove back and turned around and went, and I stopped, and I asked them. I said, hey, you need a ride? I'll give you a ride. Oh, yeah, we do. We left Washington, D.C., and we were going to Washington, and in our trip there, we've had so much hard luck that we've actually had to sell everything we have just to get there, and we're down to a suitcase. And I was like, oh, well, Lord, I guess this was what I needed to do. So I pick them up, take them to my house, and we talk. And this guy's name was Jesse, and I didn't think about it, but his daughter's name was Angel, and I can't remember what his wife's name was. Well, anyway, I talked to them, and we talked about the Lord, and he couldn't read. But he loved the Lord, and I had this Bible, and it was just full of pictures, and it told the story. It was called the Picture Bible. Remember, we had those. And so I give this to him, and we just talked about the Lord, and I said, well, you can stay with me, and I give him some stuff that I didn't need, you know. And I said, hey, if you want, you can stay. He said, no, we have money. It's not that we don't have money. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not that we don't have money, but he said, we can stay in a hotel. That's not a problem. He said, we just have had this tough luck. We're down to this point. But God told me to put a little bit in the Bible, and I give it to him and showed him a hotel there in Riddell, and so they stayed in that hotel. But the point I'm trying to make is, man, I was so blessed by just listening to God. That was a divine appointment. And what it was is a year later, I got this postcard in the mail. It said, when I was hungry, you fed me. And when I was thirsty, you took me in. Sorry about that. The year went by. Next year, I got another card. It said, when I was hungry, you fed me. Divine appointment. How blessed I was that I listened to Jesus when he said, pick them up. Sometimes we don't know the situation that people are in. Sometimes we aren't walking in their shoes, and they really need us to come up beside them and be that one, that divine appointment that we meet. I want us to turn in our Bibles to Luke, the 19th chapter, and I want to share with you a divine appointment that Jesus made with a man, and it pretty much rocked his world, and it rocked a lot of the world that was around, because this man was hated. Luke 19. Here, enter Jericho, was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector. He was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was not able to because of the crowd, since he was a short man. So running ahead, he climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today it's necessary for me to stay in your home." So he quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully, and all that saw it began to complain. "He's going to stay with a sinful man." And Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay him four times." Then Jesus said, "Today, salvation has come to this house," Jesus told him, because he too is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. This story, this story is a unique story. We've heard of Zacchaeus, wee little man. You know, you've heard the story if you've been in Sunday school very long. But this is really not the story. The story of Zacchaeus was, he had a desire that was beyond comprehension. He had a desire to see Jesus. He had a desire to see Jesus. And I want to share a couple things with you that as I was studying, some of these things came. I'd like to, sometimes it's nice to know what was going on. Sometimes we read the Bible, and it's nice to know what was going on in that period of time. You know, so as we look at this, I'd like to share with you what the situation was. Jericho was a very wealthy and important town. It lay in the Jordan Valley, and commanded both the approach of Jerusalem and the crossing of the river, which gave access to the land of Jerusalem. So where this was, it was a special place, and it wasn't only that it was special, it was beautiful. This place was a place that actually was talked about. Josephus even talked about, one of the great historians, about this place where this tax collector was. It said that this was called the City of Palms, is where it was. Josephus called it a divine region. He said it was divine. The facet of Palestine. The Romans carried dates and balsam wood, and traded it all over the world. This balsam smelled so good that it said for miles it smelled. You could smell the beauty of this place. But Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Zacchaeus was a man who was hated by the people. And you wonder why it is. You know the IRS, sometimes how we dislike the IRS. Well, Zacchaeus was the IRS. He was a tax collector. Not only that, it said he was a chief tax collector. That meant that he hired other people to collect taxes in that day. This place in Palestine was a very wealthy place. He was in almost like the toll to get into Jerusalem and the Jordan, into that area. They had to go through this toll, and Zacchaeus was the one that was there collecting the taxes. Well, the people were poor. They didn't have very much, but he was the one that was taxed. So they weren't very happy with him, but it wasn't so much they were just not happy with him. Zacchaeus, I have a hard time doing all this, Zacchaeus was one of them at one time. He was of the son of Abraham. He was a Jew. And he sold his soul to the Romans and collecting the monies from his people. So in their eyes, he was as low as a prostitute. That's how low they looked at him. He is nothing. So when Jesus shows up and he walks up to a tree. Now I want to explain, Zacchaeus was not very tall. It says he was a short man. They say in history he maybe was shorter than 5 foot tall. That's a pretty small guy. But he probably had a big man syndrome. You ever hear the little man, big man? Well, Zacchaeus probably in his life kind of had that attitude. And the people didn't like him. They didn't like him. They didn't like what he did. They figured you sold your soul to the devil, more or less. That's what they're feeling. Zacchaeus was trying to get to Jesus. Zacchaeus had a pull on his heart that he wanted to know Jesus. He heard that this Jesus fella kind of liked tax collectors. If you read back a little bit farther, it talked about Levi, a tax collector, and how that he told Levi, come and follow me. And Levi left everything. So he's hearing all these stories. This Jesus has taken us downcast, us lower than life by what these people say, and he's accepting us. I want to know this man that's willing to accept me. So he started trying to get to him. It said he sought out Jesus. You know what that meant? He didn't maybe make it the first time. Seeking means you try more than once. I'm sure that the crowd, when they seen Zacchaeus had to really want to see Jesus, because you know what the crowd would do if they seen that little tax collector and he was trying to get through them? You'd give him one of these, kick him. You know what I mean? He wasn't an official of any sort. So he probably was getting beat pretty good by the people, because it was like, do you think they were going to let him see Jesus? They're probably, oh, Zacchaeus, you're not going to look at him. You know what I mean? These are these righteous people, you know. They wouldn't even let Zacchaeus close. So Zacchaeus is trying his best. He said, this isn't working. He probably had a few bruises that day from people just that didn't like him. It's like, you're down here, you know, you're out of your booth, you know. So what happened was Zacchaeus ran out ahead, and he thought, this is about where Jesus should show up to. So he came to this tree, and they talk about the tree. It was a tree that had, it wasn't like these big tall tree. It was a smaller tree, but it was like an oak that had big branches that came out. And you could climb it fairly easy, a lot of branches. But you could kind of hide in it too. It had plenty of foliage around it. But what Jesus did when he was walking and he's talking to the people, he walks right up to that tree and he looks up. You tell me this isn't a divine appointment. Jesus would have found Zacchaeus no matter where he would have been that day. Do you ever think of that? Because of what he said. Zacchaeus, come down from there. Hurry down. I must dwell in your house today. Sometimes we need to realize that that's what Jesus does to us. He comes and gets us. And he shakes us like, hey, I want to be a part of your life. So this is what happens. Jesus comes down. Zacchaeus comes down. And Jesus says, I must dwell in your house today. The important people of that day did not do that. They did not invite themselves to somebody's house. That just was not done. You know, you're a dignitary. You need to be invited. You don't invite yourself. But what happened was, if you read that sixth and seventh verse, the people said, look at him. He's going to Zacchaeus' house. He's a sinner. He is the slum of the earth. But Jesus did this for a reason. First of all, it was important for him. I'm sorry, Fred. Fred's giving me the get that on your chest sign. And if you can't hear me. So what happened was is, As he was, let me find it here. The mic got me fouled up. Zacchaeus was a very wealthy man, and it said that he was very wealthy. But did that make him happy? He was not, it says here, Zacchaeus was not a happy individual. With all the money that he had, he was not happy. He was lonely. Sometimes we look at people that have a lot and we think, oh, their lives are great. Sometimes they're the loneliest people. Sometimes they just keep trying to get to fill the void that God put in us. You know, you can be a very unwealthy person and be the richest person there is because you have Jesus inside of you. You can feel so comfortable. You go to sleep at night. You're not worrying about nothing. You just know that if Jesus, you came today, I'll be right in your arms. That is wealth. That is wealth. He was lonely, for he had chosen a way that made him an outcast. He had made a decision some point in his life, and he had heard that Jesus would welcome tax collectors. Even though he made such a terrible choice in his life, he heard that Jesus was welcoming tax collectors. Guess what? Somebody that's lonely, somebody that's hurting. So what Zacchaeus did, Zacchaeus determined to see Jesus. He determined it. And that's why I said, even though the crowd was against him, even though he felt like I can't, you know, how am I going to see Jesus? You know, all these people, they're trying to keep me from seeing him. You know, I'm like, there's just no way. But he wouldn't quit. He said, I'm not going to quit. Remember, there was another man in the Bible. We just heard about him. His name was Jacob. Jacob was scared for his life because his brother was going to kill him. And he felt that because he stole his birthright. There was a big problem there. But there was an angel came to Joseph in the middle of the night. And Jacob started wrestling with him. He said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. Sometimes we have to realize, sometimes that's how we have to be. We need to say, God, I am not going to quit. I'm not going to quit, even though life's showing me a lousy hand. I'm not stopping until you bless me. And this is what happened. As this went on, Zacchaeus determined, no matter the kicks, no matter the punches, no matter, it didn't matter. He had a desire to get to know Jesus. His heart was already changing, and probably had changed at that moment. He wanted to be a part of this man, this Galilean, or that he wanted to see who this Jesus was. Things weren't easy for Zacchaeus because he was little. Sometimes you think he was ever teased. You know, how many times have you been teased? How many times have you sat in a place that maybe somebody didn't treat you right? You know, sometimes we fail to realize we're not the only ones that's been put in these positions. Zacchaeus took steps to show his commitment to Jesus. By taking steps, he took off running and found a tree he could get up. He said, they're not stopping me. They're not going to stop me. So he ran around, he climbed a tree. Never did he imagine in 1,000 years that Jesus was going to walk up and stop at the bottom of his tree. Never in 1,000 years did he believe that this Messiah, this one that I'm hearing, would actually come to me. But Jesus did. As you look at this, when Zacchaeus was told, and when Jesus said, I'm going to come to your house today, guess what Zacchaeus did? Yeah! Yeah! This is good! You know, he was so excited that this man, this teacher, see, he heard all the healing. See, if you read back from Luke, you'll see where a blind man was healed. You'll see all this healing was going on. All these messages about this Jesus was already out there. Zacchaeus knew, hey, this isn't just anybody. This is a Savior. He can redeem me. He felt that in his heart. He had been changed by what he had heard. Because when you're at a toll booth, guess what? You're hearing everything, good and bad. So at that, he was so excited. And you know what? How often is it when we get really excited for God that somebody goes pop and pops that bubble? It's like, oh, yeah, but didn't you see that? It's like, hey, just let me enjoy this for a minute. The religious leaders of the day said, who is this Jesus that he would go to that slum bag's house and he would actually sit at his table? What it was doing in the history of the Jews, when you went to someone's table and you ate with them, it was saying that I accept their way of life. And the Jews said, this is uncalled for, that he would actually do that. So this is the predicament. Jesus did this for a reason. He went to Zacchaeus because he had this appointment with him, but his appointment was to say, there is no one that I can't save. There's no one that you've done too much. And as you look at this, you start thinking, man, how true it is that we serve a God. There's nothing that we can't do. Zacchaeus had a deep, deep desire to see this Jesus. How many times do we find ourselves in a place that we don't feel like we're loved, we're cared for, nobody cares about us? There's times the enemy will make you feel like you are all alone. Look at all the suicides we have today. Our world is teaching people that there is no hope. That's why the Bible says, know that you are the light of the world. Remember those little kids? Let their light shine. That's what we need to do. If you're here today and you're serving God with all, let your light shine. Let people see this Jesus inside of us. You know, the Jesus of hope. The Jesus of when there's no one around, he's there to hear me. Jesus found a horrible sinner and accepted him. Sometimes, there's been times in my life I didn't feel that God could save me because I'd done too much. I'd felt like I had just blown it too much. I'd done too many things. Jesus showed up. The devil lied to me, but Jesus showed up. If you're sitting here today and you think, you know, I sit here today and maybe I haven't pleased God, maybe I haven't served him, maybe I haven't committed my life to him, maybe I don't have that, I haven't had the chance that Jesus gave to Zacchaeus, I want to welcome you to that chance today. I want you to realize there's nothing that God cannot take care of. Jericho, it was a beautiful place, but it had hurting people in it. Sometimes the beauty around us does not change what's inside us. And so we have to look at that and understand that the purpose that Jesus came was to give us what? Life. Not death, real. And as I look at this, I see that Jesus was so in tune with lost people. Remember, if you go back to the 5th chapter of Luke, you'll see that Jesus dealt with another tax collector, and that's probably the one that Zacchaeus heard about with Levi. Levi threw a big banquet. Jesus came to Levi. He said, hey, and after that, Levi's going to follow Jesus. He's going to give everything up and follow Jesus. But he throws this big banquet, and people were saying the same thing. He's going out, and he's with these publicans and sinners. And you know what Jesus told them? He said, I didn't come to heal you that were well.
That's exactly what he said. He said, I came to heal those that are sick. And so sometimes we have to, I don't blame the Jewish people. They lived by the law. They had done everything in their power to do everything that the Bible said. But what happened was they failed to see the mercy of God in all of it. They failed to see that Jesus loves everyone. Remember, it talked about another tax collector. There was a rich man. He was praying. And it's back a little farther there. And he's praying to God, oh, Lord, I'm so grateful that I'm not like these, like this tax collector over here that, you know, that I'm pretty much better than them, you know, that we're not in that. And this tax collector was going like this. Wouldn't even lift his head. It said he was pounding his chest. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me, Lord. I don't even deserve to be here, but forgive me. Jesus said, that man there deserves what I have. I'm paraphrasing. But sometimes we have to realize Jesus is not looking at success. He's not looking at failure. He's looking at you. He's looking at you. You are an individual that he died for, that he paid the ultimate price on the cross. He paid for you even though we don't deserve it, but he loved us that much. They said, you know what? I'm going to take your sin to the cross with me, to where you don't have to live with it anymore. But the one thing you have to do is you have to accept me into your life as your personal Savior and Lord in order to get the benefit of my death for you. You've got to accept me. Zacchaeus made Jesus a priority. He wasn't just, it wasn't a whim. It was a priority. I got to get to know him. I got to get to know who this person is. It was a priority, and you can see what he went through. We need to sometimes, as we sit here as Christians, maybe we've been Christians for many, many years, we need to examine our own lives and see what our priorities truly are. Is TV shows that keep us from spending time with the Lord? Is it budgets? You know, we're so financially stressed that we just keep ourselves from the Lord. Is it family? Just so much going on in the family that it just keeps us. Spend time. The way to correct that is to spend time with Jesus. Say, you know what? I'm not going to allow all the things. And believe me, I'm one that say 100%, I can get so bogged down with things that Jesus and reading God's word and praying, I'm praying when something's going wrong, you know, when things are going right and I need to daily keep my priority straight. That is where we stay on track if we keep our priority set with God. It's the Bible is something that is a guidebook. It's a living, they call the Bible is a living word. If we're going to stay close to Jesus, we need to get to know who he is. People can tell you, but they can tell you a Jesus that I don't even know about. But if you read the Bible, it's consistent. You'll know who this Jesus is. He promised to make restitution. He promised to make He promised that he will be there when no one else will be, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's more than happy to redeem those by his forgiving blood if they're willing to accept him. He said that, he talks about those that are, forgive those that are so lowly, that are the downcast. But you know, one of the words, and I'd like to, if I could remember where that was, it was about being
when you're downcast and away from the Lord, Jesus don't look at us that way. He looks at what we can be, not what we are. Sometimes we fail to realize that Jesus isn't looking at the failures that we see. Remember, it says his blood, he goes before the Father and makes petitions for us. He pleads our case before God. But you know what? God sees what we can be. Through Jesus' blood, he protects all this garbage from getting to God. God's probably saying, hey, Jesus, what's this one doing for me? Where are we at with this one? See, God has hope for all mankind. Jesus has hope for all of us. So what I'd like to ask you today, I hope that this might have, if I wound around and through and up and down it, through Zacchaeus' life, it can really show us that there's no one that God can't save. There's no one. And if you're here today and you're thinking, I have never made that commitment to Jesus. I've never made him my Savior and Lord. Be the Lord of my life means you're going to take control of my thoughts, of my deeds. I'm going to do everything in my power to serve you from this day forward. If you're here today and you've never made that commitment, I'd like you just to raise your hand and say, hey, I would like Jesus to come into my heart and be my Savior and Lord. And when I say that, it sounds like, oh man, that's a tough thing. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. I'll tell you what happened to me. I was sitting in a pew, and I had someone say, there's five people here tonight that needs to come to the Lord. I was like, oh, great. You know, how can you say that? That's what I'm thinking in my mind. I grabbed hold of my pew and was holding on because I knew one of them was me. And I was like, no way. No way am I going to let somebody tell me that. See how the enemy works? And a couple of them got up. You know, it's like, oh, great. There was countdown. Three more. It's like, oh, my goodness. And you know what went through my head? If you kick a dog long enough, he'll bark. Isn't that stupid? But that's what I'm thinking while I'm sitting there. I don't remember getting up, but I was standing in that aisle. And a finger pointed at me and said, I've been waiting for you all night. That's what Jesus is doing for you today. He's waiting for you to make that commitment for life, commitment for eternity to be with him in paradise. So I encourage you, and what I'll do is let's just close in prayer, but I would really like you to just examine yourself. If we've been Christians our whole lives, we need to realize that Jesus isn't looking for word service. He's looking for life service. We can say, oh, I do all this for God, but you know what he looks at? He looks at, what are you really doing for me? What are you doing? How are you acting? How are you showing me to others? So I want to encourage you, as ones that's been serving the Lord a long time, let's prioritize Jesus to being number one. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today, and I pray that Jesus, that you know you work through an imperfect vessel, but you know you're perfect, and you can speak to the hearts of men, and I pray, Lord, that you just spoke positive enough to people to where they'll see how much you care and love them. And I pray, Jesus, today that if there's those here today that they feel that, you know what, I need Jesus, I just pray that they just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior and Lord. I commit my life from this day forward to you, and I just offer myself into your hands. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. And I thank you so much for this in your precious name. Amen.
Wow, thank you, Brother Vic. That's pretty powerful. Climb the tree. Go climb the tree. That's what I got out of it. Pretty neat message. So this week, go out, be Jesus, but spend time with Jesus, because we can't do it in our own strength. Thank you all for supporting each other, for praying for each other and loving each other. Amen.